Tonight's topic for the VOD is entitled Community Learning, Expanding Horizons. And as was introduced last week by Rabbi Neumann and by Moskowitz, is the fact that the yeshiva is expanding its community learning. Really, it's a program that they have done in the past, but we're revamping it and redoing it, reintroducing it. And basically, for the next 6 weeks, give or take, it's really 6 out of 7 weeks, the yeshiva's Beis Medrash is moving Monday nights to Bal Harbor, to the Young Israel Bal Harbor, to really create a Makom Torah, which till now has not existed in that spot in Florida. And it's a big undertaking on the yeshiva's part. I can tell you personally, my Moskowitz is probably listening to this, but there's been, I don't know, many, many hours of preparation that's been put into this. He has called me so many times. I just love Rabbi Moskowitz, so I take his calls most of the time. But there's definitely a lot of planning and a lot going into it. And after the initial introduction last week, I've had a lot of people come to me with the following basic response. Rebbe, I'm scared. Grown men, chashuv abachrim, they could be the heads of security. But when it comes to learning with Baal Batim, all of a sudden, and rightfully so, guys, hate to use the word, they're sheep. Afraid. They're nervous. And what I'd like to do today is give a very practical, simple vod for us to first appreciate, but B, give practical etzas, how we could go about be the best chavrushas possible in this program, and Bez Hashem, do our part in Bimekana Shem Shemayim. Now, I decided to look up, when thinking about this program, you know, Baruch Hashem, Klal Yisrael has many different forms of kirov, Arbatza Satora. There's a lot of kirov. You know, there are some organizations that have, you know, a big Shabbaton, and they'll get a whole community involved, Logic Inspire, and they'll, Memela, let's have a Geshmak Shabbos, invite people to your house, and that's how I'll be Megarev people. Or let's send people gifts for Hanukkah or Yontif. Okay. All wonderful ways, Stamma, we say, the Harbi Drachim to Megarev people. But there's one organization which is like none other, and I think it's a pretty awesome model for what we're doing. Bez Hashem, is called Partners in Torah. I looked them up. Partners in Torah, currently, quite amazing thing, has 63,122 people involved. There are literally, I assume that's people together with the Chavrusas, thousands of people that learn the Chavrusa half hour a week. From people, with not such from people, which no shaykhas people, learning Torah. Partners in Torah, obviously there's, you know, a certain friendship that gets developed, but we even talk about people, how awkward could that be when you're not even meeting the person. You're on the phone, you're sitting in New York, and they're in Wyoming. It's an amazing, amazing organization that's been, it's backed by Torah Mesorah, and it's been going for over a decade. Touching, as you see, 63,000 lives is an amazing thing. It affects, it's a beneficial program, obviously, for the person who is not as exposed to Yiddishkeit, to halacha, to Torah, but even for, the, especially in some ways more, for the teacher, person teaching the Torah, is very much involved. I'd like to read to you a quote, which I thought was a very profound quote. We have a Torah that's not meant to be studied in isolation. Partners in Torah is a perfect embodiment of that ethic. And you need someone who's one step ahead of you. It was such an easy way to get in touch with myself. Nice quote. What's fascinating, I'm not going to say her name in a Beis Medrash, but this quote is from a Jewish lady who, previous to Partners in Torah, was not religious. and is quite popular. She's a famous television actress. But after being exposed to partners in Torah, she started becoming slowly Shomer Torah Mitzvahs. She's still on her show, but she is now much more Shomer Torah Mitzvahs. And I thought Torah Mesorah, I don't have to be firmer than Torah Mesorah, but maybe I do. Torah Mesorah honored this person. I assume Shad is because it's Kirov, despite the fact she's still on a major television show. And she was honored by Partners in Torah's dinner. I checked up a few years ago. And her name definitely creates tremendous popularity for prestige. Shaftim Mayim Bisosom. Anyway, so creates prestige for the organization. But I thought also the idea, the way the partner in Torah looks at the person, a lot of times people are afraid how they look at you, they view you. Look, I'm just learning a chavrusa, a partner who's one step ahead of me. I think that's a very, very important way to see how they view you. Reshiva has a whole shmuz by the Meraglim, how the Meraglim was so afraid of the inhabitants of Eretz Yisrael, right, that, you know what, they were so great. V'chein hayinu be'enehem. So we were so small, we felt so small when we saw them, and so were we in their eyes. And the Reshiva has a whole shmuz that part of the fault of the Meraglim was they projected what the way they felt towards that person and said, you know what, that's how the person views me. A lot of times you get scared off, like, these people must expect me, I'm learning Torah all day, I'm a great sage, I'm a young sage. This is a perspective of that person on the other side of the glass, person on the other side. No, they're viewing you, they're not putting the biggest assumptions on you. One step ahead of me, that's all I need. And Lamaisa, through that relationship, it's better that way because you feel closer. You feel you're more shaykhs too, right? That's where we hold our general hashkafas in our Bas Torah are too, you know. A Rebbe should never project himself too far above Talmidim. He should always say, you're one step ahead. This way, it's easier, the means of learning. So, what I'd like to talk about now are 7 strategies for success for a person to use when he's involved in learning with another person. You know, again, for this particular program, we hope to utilize everybody, but lav dafka, everyone will be needed. You know, we'll see how many people show up and what, but just a person's presence already does a lot. Now, the first thing I would talk about, and this is something which everybody plays a role in, no matter if you learn with the Baal HaBos, if you learn with the person participating in the program or not, is the way you dress, the way you act. The first thing that anyone's going to notice, and to be honest, on some degree they're looking to notice, is what does a yeshiva bacher look like? How does he dress? How well put together is he? What does his appearance look like? How intimidating is he? How does he act? How does he talk? What's his body language? It's pashit. I went through some things in the Vod this week, quoting a Mishnah Sirbaran. It's pashit. A guy has to look all put together. A guy should be dressed well. Clean cut appearance. He should talk respectfully, not raise his voice, not hang out, just look like a mensch in the fullest capacity. Really, that's something, you know, on a daily basis, you know, Rabbi Aaron will talk about the Ben Torah should act and dress and hold himself with. It affects the way you think, affects your Dine Edus. But Kol Shekein, when we're going to somewhere else and we're trying to have a positive Hashpa, the first and foremost thing they're going to look at is how you dress. And guys should make sure. You don't have to learn, you know, you could be you're not needed and you're just sitting in the base manager and learning. But the way you dress, your mannerisms, your body language, way you come across is very important. The guy will say, you know, Rebbe, you know, I showered before Shabbos. I took a shave before Shabbos. My other shoes are wet, moldy. I don't know, whatever. Lamaisa, with these things, there's no excuse. You have to do your best to be on top of your game, to look good, to look well-dressed, because that's the most basic and first step before you open your mouth of how to have a positive hashpah. Number two. First one's pretty easy. You don't have to say anything. Just come prepared. Number two, I would say like this. Anytime you're learning with a Baal HaBos or an older person, that is dramatically different than learning with a younger, like a high school kid. Right? When we talk about expanding our horizons, that's a big step here. Because a lot of what we're used to, you know, for some people, you know, outside of Chofetz Chaim, outside of these yeshivas, you know, even learning with a high school kid is very foreign to many yeshiva bachurim your age. Baruch Hashem, in this yeshiva, learning with a high school kid is taken for granted. Of course we do that. And I think guys are ready to some degree, some are more comfortable than others, but it's already something we do. It's not, we're not afraid of it. We may not like it, but we're not afraid of it. Learning with an adult is a different experience. And I'm going to give three ways where it definitely comes across different and how to handle it. The first thing, if you're dealing with somebody who's older and in some ways didn't necessarily have the advantage of going to yeshiva, you have to spend a lot of time clarifying the background of something. Don't just start reading a Gemara, translating the words, and jump right into Pnei Yeshua's Kasha on Rashi. It's not how you do it. When learning with someone from a less advanced background, you have to make sure everything is crystal clear. Rachel Bidcha Haktana. There has to be introduction to every single step. An introduction means you explain all the basic concepts slowly, clearly. All words always should be translated. Don't expect people to know yeshivish jargon, or not even yeshivish jargon, but Hebrew. Do the best that you can to be super clear. And if the person, you'll see very quickly, shaking his head very much, you'll pick up the body language, okay, maybe I could gloss over some things, speed up a little quicker, maybe I don't have to translate every word. You'll be able to gauge quickly, I think, what level this person's at, what things he's comfortable. But the default setting is everything needs a tremendous background, tremendous clarity, tremendous explanation. That's point number two. Point number three, and this I have a story to. I remember, I've talked about it somewhat in yeshiva, I had this chus at a young age to work in yeshivas Or Sameach in Eretz Yisrael. And before I did that, I sat down with a few people involved in the world of Kiruv. And my job basically was sit and learn Bechavrusa with people who were, you know, not as advanced as I was. And the first major yesod, which I remember a few people telling me, is when you're sitting and you learn somebody, you're not sitting there and correcting them. It's very important. There are some things you could interject, you know, what is the right thing for something, but to sit there word for word, line for line, to correct a person's pronunciation or correct a person's translation or understanding, you have to pick your battles. And the person's not coming to learn necessarily. There are a few diehards who tell me what this word means. That's one in a thousand. You know, the most part, people are coming to learn, but you have to, you know, it's probably much likely you could all ask the person if he wants to read, or maybe better, you want to answer, you want like me to read? Would you like to read? Always make the person feel comfortable. Don't make him do something he doesn't want to do. And definitely the more you correct a person, you have to be careful. You know, your purpose is not to correct people. Even, you know, you know, a guy could give you a pupil share of all the halachas he knows, and you know, there could be multiple mistakes in that. I'm not sure you have the achrayis to correct them on everything. It's like so much to give over at one time. Slowly, pick your battles, pick the bigger things, and try to make the learning itself a positive experience. That's number three. Number four, and this is definitely very relevant with older people, different than younger people. And really, this idea, I think it's so important here in Yeshiva, that obviously our main goal in Yeshiva is become Talmidei Chachamim, Ba'al Musar, Ba'al Midos. All these quote-unquote extracurricular things that we do in Yeshiva are also good because, it's good exposure. When a guy learns with a high school guy, you're expanding your Midah of Chesed, but you're also expanding what you see yourself doing in Harbatzot Torah. But to have the ability to interact with older people is really a new frontier, a new horizon about Satara. And, you know, there are people, you know, I look at my friends. Some of my friends feel very comfortable teaching kids, and others feel so much more comfortable dealing with adults. And if you never had an opportunity to learn with an adult, this is it. You know, how many times in life you had a situation like this where you could sit and learn and explain Torah to an adult? Having this opportunity really is something which could show a person strength that he never knew he had. But it's a different learning, you have to recognize that, than just learning with a high school kid. A major chiluk between an adult and a high school kid is the following. High school kid, or below, doesn't know anything. An adult does. And not only does an adult know something, there's a tremendous need within the person. As you get older and you know things, anytime you give a share, they want to respond and add something to it. I get this all the time. I guess I'm in adult education too now. You give a share, and people pipe up. Ooh, that reminds me of this story, or of this, or that. Like a little kid is us sitting there, oh yeah, no ninth grader. Yeah, it reminds me of a story. Like what? Yeah, you can tell me over my stories. The only stories you know is mine. But Lamaisa, with adults, with older people, part of their psyche is when they hear something, they're filtering that based on the knowledge they already have. And they'll want to share something. Sometimes the point he shares is a perfect step on point. Many times it's not. But either way, that's something which you should be prepared for and you should encourage. You want to hear what they have to say. So many times I hear other people, listening is a very big midah. I hear when other people, you know, interject something in a share, okay, whether it's perfectly relevant or mukhrach based on the way you're saying it is not the point. The point is you said something and that thing you said caused him to like think about this. So really, you hear what his point he has to say. A lot of times it could be a very interesting point you didn't know. But also it's something, when you see his reaction, it's another means to gauge who he is. Part of learning, especially with an adult, is getting a relationship. We'll talk about that a little more in a moment. But when you hear what their response is when you say something, you get a better picture of how they think and a bigger picture of their life. And that's something you want to get. So again, number, we're up to four.
That was four,
right? So again, number four was let the people talk, hear what they have to say, and many times it'll be very beneficial for both parties involved. Number five, this is a general concept but definitely something we're going to do, is you have to learn something that you're comfortable with. There was one of our branches had a program like this, where there was a Rebbe who gave out like sheets, and they gave a share, and they quickly taught guys something. I think one of the branches I worked in, they once was a program like that also. They made guys learn something on another Masechta. That's not the best recipe for success. The best recipe for success on our part is doing something that we're comfortable with. And that's why we perfectly designed the program that there's three options. Option one, to learn Gemara. Option two, to learn classic Musar. Option three, Chumash / Shmuz. So I don't know how Rabbi Mask was left it with you guys. Are the guys choosing or the Baal Batim are choosing? Or, huh?
Give them a choice of three.
They're giving the choice of three, okay. Fine. But either way, a guy should come loaded. Your Gemara, Daf Bezim, Abezim, Gidin, you better know well. Your classic Musar Sefer of your choice, you should know well. Again, it doesn't have to be the whole Sefer. You pick up a passage, a chapter, something that you know well. And, or Shmuz, to have it down on your fingertips, clear, the best of your ability. And really, we both said, there's nothing like a Hechrach. Somebody was just talking to me about the other day in chair. Sometimes, you know, you have a morning city, your Rebbe gives you marmakomos. So you feel a certain degree of pressure. I got to do those marmakomos to be ready for share. If I don't do those marmakomos well, I'm going to be lost in share. But there's an added pressure, an added hechrach. You have to teach somebody else. When you have a greater hechrach, a lot of times, that helps a person function on a higher level. And the hechrach to have to explain things, to have learning that we're comfortable with, is an awesome thing. Two other quick things, strategies I want to mention. Number six is keeping up the relationship. As we started alluding to before, this is not just something that you're learning. I see partners in Torah stresses, you know, partners in Torah, and it's a relationship. It's a friend. It's a shaychus. Most of the guys here know a tremendous, I guess we'll call him Brancher, we should be zochah to get him back someday, Yehuda Kassira. Yehuda was somebody that enjoyed going away for Shabbos, or for Rabbi Naaman, different places, because he, Baruch Hashem, had a good ability not just to talk and make a good impression, but he talked to people, established relationships. His brother Ashi was here in Miami, and till this day has a relationship with Baal Batim. They had shaychus to just by going to the house for Shabbos, having shaychus to their kids, and talking to them, saying a Dvar Torah by their table, interacting with them. An amazing thing. To have a relationship, this is something, Be'ezus Hashem, we're learning for 6 weeks, but hopefully keeping for a lifetime. And it's a tremendous thing. The more a person is able to cultivate and have a relationship, forget about the benefit of the yeshiva and the benefit of, you know, you'll get a pull to swim in. But no, it's a mutually rewarding experience. Impacting and helping, you know, as a Ben Torah, to spread Kiddush Hashem, to spread Torah in the world. And finally, the seventh strategy, I would say, is a very, very important strategy. And I say it's probably the secret weapon. Till now, we were giving strategies. Okay, you do these six things, you'll be on top of your game. Be'ezus Hashem, you make a tremendous hashpa. This is a silver bullet. You don't have to do anything. The Reshiva Zatzal was very, very, very fond of saying, you have the best schorah in the world. You're selling Torah. You don't need to sell Torah. Torah sells itself. Our job in any time we're learning is just to be a shliach. I happen to have this chus. I'm the shliach. I'm going to sit with this person. I'll teach Torah. We have the most powerful secret of the world in our hands. The Torah's chachma, b'ros tarachah, azar seha, v'tziva eha. The Sol Sharm has a line, ha'or shabam achzirin l'mutav. Just being exposed to Torah, like, blows you away. You know, this person who learned with this Hollywood celebrity. I was like, oh my gosh, like, what am I going to do? Like, I'm learning with this person. You teach Torah. That's what you do. You're not selling yourself. You're teaching Torah. The Torah sells itself. That's probably the most comforting but most important hashkafa to know. If you just give over the Torah clearly, everything else will follow. Everything else will flow. And I'd like to end with a story. Two stories. Rabbi Stolberger, when he was here, said over the Misa of the mayor in Shanghai and how a young boy who basically befriended this, what was his name? Sugihara. He befriended him, got him to come to a Hanukkah party, really changed the scope of history. And I thought it was especially the way, I won't do it justice to say it over the way Mr. Stolberger did, but the way how just one young person interacting with an adult had a tremendous positive hashpa, that affected the entire Mir Yeshiva in Shanghai, all the great Talmid Chachamim. Think about that. That's a little kid, Achmei Vesrim, came up to Shemayim, and Rav Chaim Shlavitz's Torah, and Rav Nachum's Torah, and Rav Malon's Torah, and Rav Chaskel Levenstein Shmuzim. This kid, I don't know if he ever learned in Yeshiva, if he ever became a Talmid Chacham or anything, but he has a schus in all of that Torah because it came about through him. Through positively influencing someone else. And it's really not just that Torah. The Alter Mir Talmidim were the first Rebbeim in the New World of America. And they played so much of a hashpa. You know, the last mirror just passed away a couple weeks ago. Like, for the past 70 years, that little kid who had a positive hashpa on some not even Jewish person, played a role which the Perus were directly affected in this world. It's unbelievable. So when somebody goes and has a positive hashpa on people of a different community who don't have a yeshiva in their midst, don't have a beis medrash in their midst, the effects of that are to that person, to his children, and Be'ez Hashem Doros. I'm not getting into specifics, but there's at least one person in the room who I think knows the story. Rabbi Moskowitz himself, it's pretty ironic, Gilgal HaChozer in the world. When he was a bacher here in Miami, they ran this program, and he learned with somebody involved in Bell Harbor in the program, quite involved. And how the world changes years later. He might be a Rebbe in yeshiva, maybe that person's children are in yeshiva. And, like, it's amazing. The hashpah that you have makes a big impact. One last story. You don't have to change the entire yeshiva world, the merit yeshiva, to have a big impact. There was a couple guys in yeshiva in my days. They were on a flight. And on their flight, they were sitting, a person who was not seemingly even Jewish. Turns out he was a secular Jew. And they had a nice, positive conversation with a guy on the flight in the airplane. Two guys from yeshiva with basically a college kid. And that developed a friendship. That developed that guy eventually getting involved in Kiruv. And that secular Jew sitting on that plane is today a firm person. He actually lives in South Florida. From family, of course, sends his kids to yeshiva, involved in shuls. All from like a guy in yeshiva, a simple guy in yeshiva. The guy was mamash a bacher in yeshiva. He was not the world's biggest masman or this or that. But just the talking and a positive interaction with the guy in yeshiva. There's a firm family that he spoke of today. So Be'ezus Hashem, we should all be zoche to try our best, to utilize our kochos, but to realize, end of the day, it's all B'yad Hashem, it's all the Torah sells itself, and Be'ezus Hashem, we should be all zoche in some small way to affect and build Torah in communities beyond.